I say we don't have health equity because society is not equitable. But that also means that all different parts of society have agency. There's something that you can do, something you can bring to the table to start to help to close these gaps.
Welcome to another episode of Season 2 of Industry Perspectives, coming to you from HIMSS 2024 in Orlando, Florida. I'm Kelsey Woodill, Multimedia Manager and Managing Editor at Extelligent Healthcare. Advancing health equity hinges on connecting with communities and being in constant dialogue to understand their needs. But with doctors already stretched to the max, how can health systems incentivize their workforces to engage with social determinants of health in support of health equity? Our VP of Editorial, Kyle Murphy, chatted with Dr. Nwando Enyoku, GVP and Chief Health Equity and Clinical Innovation Officer at Providence Health, about this very topic. Let's tune in.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us about your role at Providence.
Absolutely. So my name is Dr. Nwando Enyoku, and I serve as the Chief Health Equity and Clinical Innovation Officer at Providence Health. I am a pediatrician by training, practiced clinical pediatrics for a couple decades. We won't put specific numbers on that. About 3 years ago, I was named the inaugural Chief Health Equity Officer for Swedish, which is part of the Providence family. And maybe more recently, I now have responsibility for health equity strategy for the whole enterprise and the clinical innovation to drive health equity. What do I do? So a lot of the challenge in healthcare is that we have been trained to give everybody equal care, right? Mm-hmm. And equal care means giving everybody the same thing, which seems fair until you recognize that everybody is not coming to the table from the same point, right?
Correct.
People have different burdens, different challenges. A lot of these things we describe as social determinants or social drivers of health. And those things impact the way patients access, experience our healthcare, and the outcomes that they get. And so we have to be intentional to A, understand who are the populations that we serve. Mm-hmm. So that can be breaking down our population by race, ethnicity, and language.
Yep.
It could be breaking it down by sexual orientation and gender identity. It could be understanding the differences between our rural and non-rural populations, our older and younger, you know, really understanding the different segments that we serve and how the healthcare we deliver is experienced by them. And then in having understood who we serve, then and seeing where the opportunities are, right? Okay. So we might look at the data, for example, we track hypertension control.
Yes.
And we look at the data and we see, oh, we do a good job overall, but when we break down the populations, we actually don't perform as well in the African-American population.
Yeah.
So that's an opportunity. And the opportunity shows up, and then you have to say, well, why is that? And then you go in and try to figure out what the variables are and solve for them. So that's sort of what the health equity strategy is overall. And how does innovation come into play here?
Yeah.
It requires you to be innovative in thinking about new ways to solve what are essentially old problems.
Yeah.
These things didn't just show up, but now we have to think about, is it our service delivery model, or are there digital strategies that we can implement that can close some of those gaps? If people who have limited English proficiency have disparities, can we use technology to provide translation services? You know, can we reach out to rural population with telehealth? And can virtual care allow us to care for people in their homes in a space where they feel more comfortable, right, and more supported? So really being innovative in the way we think about solutions to these problems is what my job is.
It seems like kind of what you're doing is you're doing personalized care, but we're also taking into the population or certain attributes that a group may share. Is that is that safe to say?
Exactly. It's personalized population health, right? Because, well, but honestly, I love that you pulled that out because that is exactly what it is, right? And we think high quality means no variation, which is true. The idea is not to give people different kinds of care, but it's to target the service you give in a specific way to serve the unique needs. So that requires you to understand that unique person, that unique community, what their particular challenges may be. And you don't have to change everything. But there's some people that you can, you know, write a prescription. They can get transportation. They can get somebody to stay with their child. They can come for a visit without losing a day of pay.
Yes.
For somebody else who you want to give that same prescription, you have to think about, okay, how are they going to get here, right? How will they refill it? And taking a day off to come see me means losing a day's pay. So what does that mean for them, right? And if they come to see me and they don't understand what I'm saying, they will nod and smile, but then they won't engage because they don't know what I just said.
Yes.
So really being, you know, intentional about recognizing the unique humanity of the people we serve and their communities is the way that we will succeed here.
What are some of the challenges? I imagine one is just getting to know the needs of these communities, mm-hmm. and getting these folks to engage, but yeah. I also imagine on the clinical side, you have to train your providers to look for the certain signals, maybe the cues, maybe kind of lean in a little bit more. Can you yeah. talk about kind of the challenges?
And those are two really critical parts, right? So yeah. the first part is hearing the voice of the community, right? Because we can step in and say, well, there's a gap here, and we think this is what is going to happen. Yeah. But that might not be it at all, right? Yeah. So the population, the people that you're trying to serve, have their own innate assets. And the only way you're going to know what is truly a problem for them and what will truly be a helpful intervention is to have a conversation. So keep those lines of communication open and really be intentional about it
yeah.
as a healthcare delivery system. What will be helpful to you, right? So you'll hear people say nothing about me without me. You need to hear what is important to them, because we might be thinking it's this, but in their mind, well, we don't care about that. This is
yeah.
the issue is over here, right?
Yeah.
It might be cultural norms that we're violating that we don't even recognize, right?
100%.
And so having that line of communication with your community to say, what, how can I be of service to you
yes.
in the most efficient way? And keeping it open so that if we start trying to do something and it's landing wrong, they can also tell us, yeah, I know you mean well in this way, but this is not working. Let's try it this way. So yeah. that ongoing communication process could be by patient family advisory council. It can be through our patient experience people, you know, being intentional about that. Our community benefit partners, our community health workers, our doulas, what are the channels that we're building into the groups we want to serve, right? So that's the community voice. And then from the clinician and provider perspective, doctors are busy, right?
Oh.
So I come talk to doctors and they're like, you want me to do what?
Yeah.
In how much time? So we have to make it easy to do the right thing, right? And
yep.
and as a physician myself, I know doctors don't ask questions to which they can't provide an answer. So I need to let them know, you know, these are the partners in the community. These are the partners in the organization who can come alongside you. So when you ask the question, you have a solution to offer, right?
Yeah.
So if we have a community health worker program and they find that this patient has a food insecurity issue, well, it's not then, you know, the burden on the physician to figure out, okay, what do I do? Write them a check, give them a coupon.
Yeah.
But no, we now have, you know, we provide them information about who in the community can partner with them
yes.
to solve those problems. And if they partner with our community health workers, they can take that connection for them. So we have community health workers, cultural navigators, who are sort of community health workers that are based in the health system going
yeah.
out, as opposed to the traditional model of community health workers who are based in the community coming in.
Yes.
But thinking about who our partners are in terms of community-based organizations and really all kinds of organizations, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, how does it change? Because, you know, in certain parts of the U.S. map, you know, you got religious organizations who
mm-hmm.
take the lead. Other places, it might be like a certain society or group.
Yep.
I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, some Native American populations. I guess you really have to know your community well.
You do have to know your community. That is the work, right?
Yeah.
And that's why it's not a one-size-fits-all, right?
Correct.
So the challenges in our Alaska practices, right, where we have a large indigenous American population, are quite different from our challenges in rural, you know, Washington State,
yeah.
or different from our Southern California places. So who is in that community? Who can partner with us? Who can help us have a win-win, right? People who are already there, it might be a church, it might be a CBO, it might be a massive organization like
yeah.
a corporation that
yeah.
wants to serve. So understanding who is in your community who can be a partner is really important. I say we don't have health equity because society is not equitable.
Yep.
But that also means that all different parts of society have agency. There's
yes.
something that you can do, something you can bring to the table to start to help to close these gaps and be innovative and creative in the solutions.
Last question for you is, you know, how does healthcare policy need to change? I think we know the political landscape,
mm-hmm.
equity for some people is a little bit of a political term,
yeah.
but in healthcare it seems to be much more accepted. However, you know, we know if there aren't incentives to do things, it's very hard to get providers and patients engaged. What would you like to see, maybe federal, state, maybe local level, to really help build more momentum?
Oh. How much time
save
do we
have? Save the biggest one for last.
Well, I will say that the reason why this is sticky and why it continues to be is that clinicians and people in healthcare, we're the helping profession.
Yep.
We came into this to help people. So when you're able to show people with data that actually, not only are we not helping, we may actually be harming people.
Yeah.
And, you know, being able to map out the data and give people actionable steps so they don't feel like there's no way I can do anything about this. Letting people know that there are steps you can take, little things that you can do in your own unique space or sphere of influence that can make a difference, like life-changing difference to people's lives. That's the mindset of how we start to change that. And so what can legislation do? They can help require people to look at data, right? To,
yes.
You know, so we're now seeing that through some of our payers, through some of our regulatory requirements, that we have to disaggregate the data so we can see the opportunities. We have to report social determinants of health, social drivers of health, ask the question. So regulation is actually beginning to drive us in that direction.
Yes.
So that we start to ask. And once you start to ask, you also have to come up with the answers, right? So it's going to be a 360 approach, right? For us, understanding that, yes, it might seem daunting, but you can take just one small step, right? And, you know, if you get the data, that will help you to see what that small step could be.
Excellent. Well, I'm encouraged, and I appreciate having you here today. Thank you so much.
Thank Enjoy you. Yourself. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, thank you for joining us on Healthcare Strategies Industry Perspectives. When you get a chance, subscribe to our channels on Spotify and Apple and leave us a review to let us know what you think of this new series. More industry perspectives are on the way, so stay tuned.
This is a Tech Target production.